Okay, it's really wonderful to be here this week. We are learning about Miriam, and very appropriate because it is going to be Chodesh Nisan, and we're coming close to Pesach, and really, Chodesh Nisan, the famous phrase that we always use, is Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot Shayu B'oto Hador Nigalu B'nei Yisrael Mimitzrayim. And we're going to see those Midrashim today. But we're going to see, how do we see that in the Pshat? How do we see that, again, the theme that we're doing for this entire series, how do we see that in the Pshat? How do we see that in the Midrashim? And how are we going to see that in the Mefarshim? So when we look at Miriam HaNeviah, we see something very interesting. We have to start with the story of Bnei Israel in Mitzrayim. And when we start with Sefer Shemot, we see something very interesting. We start with Ve'ela Shemot Bnei Israel. In the beginning of Sefer Shemot, we are naming all the names of Bnei Israel who come down to Mitzrayim. And the language is very interesting. When we talk about everyone coming down to Mitzrayim, it says, Et Yaakov ishu beito bau. One of the main things of coming down to Mitzrayim was that Yaakov really comes down to Mitzrayim with the entire group of Am Yisrael. And we list all the names, Ve'ele Shemot, literally names. So we see that your name, your identity, who you are, is really very important. And we name every single name of those who came down to Mitzrayim from the Shvatim. So we have all the male names coming down to Mitzrayim. And we speak about Yaakov, Ish u'beito bau. So we also speak how important the families are. Now we remember from Sefer Bereshit how important the women were. We know that Sarah played an unbelievable role in making sure that Yitzchak is going to be called. We have the future of Am Yisrael really determined when Rivka wants to make sure that Yitzchak is going to give the bracha to Yaakov. We see Rivka plays an important role also in davening side by side with Yitzchak. And of course, Rachel and Leah play a very important role. When Yaakov has to make the decision if he's going to leave the house of Lavan, he asks the advice of Rachel and Leah. And we see both of them in their will to have children. So we see that the Nashim, the women, the Imahot, played a very important role in Sefer Bereshit. And all of a sudden we're coming to Sefer Shemot, and we start Sefer Shemot way in the beginning. Oh, we're mentioning the Shvatim. Et Yaakov ishu beito bau, and we mention all of the Shvatim. And then it says we also had another 70 individuals. So they came down as a pool of 70 individuals. And it tells us that Yosef was in Mitzrayim, because he was in Mitzrayim already before they came down. And then in Pasuk Vav, Vayamat Yosef v'chol echav v'chol ador hahu. Yosef and all his brothers pass. And now we have to see what's going to happen with Am Yisrael in the future. And what we see again in Sefer Shemot, even though we're coming down with the importance of the names of the Shvatim, we're going to see that again, just like we have in Sefer Bereshit, the women play an unbelievable role in making sure that there is going to be future and destiny. So just like the Imahot, now that we're on a more of a national scale, Bnei Israel are a bigger community, are the women going to play such an important role? Are the women within their families or on a national scale going to be able to contribute just like we saw that they contribute in the past? And what we see right away is that the story in Sefer Shemot really starts moving to the activities of the women. Because already when we want to talk about what's happening in Mitzrayim, our first pasuk, right, post Yosef, when there's activity in Mitzrayim, pasuk Zayin, Ubnei Israel paru vayishretzu vayirbu vayatzmu bimod maod vatimaleh haaretzotam. That Bnei Israel were fruitful and multiplied, and Mitzrayim filled with Bnei Israel. And really, of course, who's really responsible for that kind of multiplicity and care of the children, and to make sure that there's going to be this kind of expansion in Am Yisrael? Of course, it's the women. So right away, we see not only in Sefer Bereshit do we have the women playing an important role, caring for the children, making sure there'll be continuity, making sure that the idea of tradition is going to be continued. We see that as well in Sefer Shemot. So even though Bnei Israel are in Mitzrayim, we see the women as well are playing a very important role in making sure there is continuity. And when Paro has to make the decision, oh, how is he going to crush Bnei Israel? He wants to make sure that he makes taxes. He sets them with taxes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. He wants to make sure that they're going to work very hard for him. And thinking, oh, the more that there is oppression, Bnei Israel are going to cave. And the opposite happens. The more Bnei Israel are oppressed, the more they are fruitful and they multiplied. And again, what is the connection? Who has the audacity to think that there's going to be a future, even though there is this oppression? Again, the message here is that it was the women, despite everything, are willing to have children and to move on. But the next phase was also to embitter their life. Oh, taxes, hard work, it's not enough. You have to really embitter their life and to make them work backbreaking work. And the Ramban has a very interesting idea. Of course, Ramban is in the 1200s, way before we had Nazis and what the Nuremberg laws were in Germany. But the Ramban says, look how smart, right, Paro is. He wants to make the Jews into the other, Bnei Israel into the other. Make them work hard, make them seem like they're not part of you, and then you can disassociate yourself from them. And once they're the other, you're willing to do all these oppressive things to them, and you're willing to look at them as slaves, as the other, and that changed the mindset of all Mitzrayim. And that's how even people who were their neighbors, right, were willing to see them as the other, and Bnei Israel were totally enslaved. And again, what was the idea? To break their spirit. To destroy them, because Paro was really afraid of what's going to happen with Bnei Israel, that they're going to really overcome the Mitzrim, take over, right? It's the oldest anti-Semitic trope, right, that we have. We already have it in the beginning of Sefer Shemot. We see it. Even Ramban says it's in the beginning in Sefer Breshit. Why does Abraham ask Lot to separate? Because they had so many sheep, they had so many cattle, they were so successful economically that what were people going to do? They were going to attack them. They were going to destroy them because the jealousy was so great. So Abraham said, okay, Lot, we have to separate because we know what's going to happen when people see our success. So we already have these ideas that we're living with today. We already see them all the way in Sefer Breshit and in Sefer Shemot, in the beginning of Am Yisrael, as we say, Ein Chadash Tachat HaShamesh. So, Paro's not successful in this plan. He's not successful in oppressing Bnei Israel through hard work. And again, we're going to see a lot of the Midrashim in a moment. So he has another plan. What is he going to do? They're going to kill all the baby boys right away when they are born. But he's not around at every birth, right? So he has to corral others to help him. Look at Pasuk Tet Vav. This is plan stage number two. Vayomer Melech Mitzrayim Lamialdot HaIvriot, to the Hebrew midwives. Remember, Am Yisrael are Ivrim, either Bnei Israel or Ivrim, Hebrews, because we identified with Avraham Avinu, Avraham HaIvri. So Melech Mitzrayim, he's getting involved to make sure this command is done. Now remember, he has so many underlings, right? Why does the king have to call in the midwives to speak to them? Right? He's micromanaging here because this was something that he really wanted to take care of. He saw that this was so important. He takes his own time in order to take care of this. And he speaks to the Hebrew midwives. And there are two ways to identify who these midwives were. Are they mialdot ha'ivriot? Are they just midwives of the Hebrews? And then they can be Egyptian. Could be Egyptian women. Or is it mialdot ha'ivriot? It's Hebrew midwives. Which means, is Paro asking people from Am Yisrael to destroy and kill their own type? Then, wow, he has a very low view of Am Yisrael. Or is he asking the Egyptian midwives of the Hebrew women? And then, right, we know that maybe they would participate because they also feel this anti-Semitism or anti-Hebrewism, right? And they're fearful and they're going to join in with his plan. So it's very interesting that we have this ambiguity. All the classic Mefarshim and the classic Midrashim, and again, we're going to see this in the Midrashim and the Mefarshim, all identify that these two individuals that we're going to meet, named Shifra and Pua, are from Am Yisrael, our Hebrew, are from Am Yisrael. And not only that, we're going to see the Midrashim, and we all know this because we know this from time immemorial, that these are Miriam and Yocheved, according to the Midrash. So Shifra and Pua, even though they have names here, right, are really nicknames for individuals that we're going to see later who are Shifra and Pua. I was wondering where I put the cup of water that I started. I always try to start it before class and have it somewhere. So what is fascinating here? The Midrash says, oh, Shifra and Pua, Yocheved, and clearly these are women from Am Yisrael. Because, right, who are going to be the midwives? You want people that you trust and you really care about and that they'll care about you and they live in your neighborhood. Because when you need to give birth, you need someone to come pretty soon. So you need someone close, someone who cares about you. So clearly, one view is these are the Mialdot Ha'ivriot. And Shifra and Pua, we have this idea by Yitzhak Heinemann who discusses, how come in the Midrash when we have a name of someone that we don't know about, but later we see that, they come up again? Or it's in a close idea? So Yitzhak Heinemann has this idea of conservation of characters, which means whenever we have two people who are bad, the Midrash says it's Datan v'Aviram. They're always the two people. Here also, Hamialdot Ivriot, it says Shifra and Pua, but later we're going to learn about Miriam and Yocheved, the mother and the sister. So clearly, right, it is Miriam and Yocheved. Just here we're using their Egyptian name. And what do we know many times in our experiences in the Galut, what happens? Many times, right, you have two names. We have Mordechai, which is really like the god Marduk. We have Esther and Hadassah, and we have that in several situations. So he's coming, he's asking the Mialdot Ivriot, and who are named Shifra and Pua, and he says, when you help give birth to the Ivriot right away, when you see on the birthstone, if it's a son, vehamiten oto, not saying it in a passive way. You have to murder the child. The minute the child is born, you murder the child. Vimbati vachaya. If it's a girl, vachaya, you can let her live. You don't have to worry about her. So what is the view of Paro? Right, we only care about the boys because the men, they are the ones who are powerful. We see in the beginning of Sefer Shemot, right, they made the decision to come down to Mitzrayim. They are the heads of the family. So it's an underestimation of what the Hebrew women can do. And what was the attitude of the Mialdot? But the Mialdot feared Hashem. But Tirena Mialdot et Alokim. But here it also could be two different things. Either we have the general population. In Tanakh in general, Yirat Hashem could be just moral and ethics. What does Avram say to Avimelech when he said, I'm calling Sarah my sister? He says, Raken Yirat Alokim b'makom hazeh v'haraguni al dvar ishti. There's no Yirat Hashem. There's no moral and ethical code here. They're going to kill me because of my wife. They want to marry her. And then, right, I'm going to be, killed in order for them to have, to be able to take her. So again, it could be generic that they had fear of Hashem, just a moral and ethical code. These are non-Jewish midwives, or just the opposite. The highest level that we have for a Jew, Avraham Avinu, at the Akedah, it says, Atayadati ki yirei Elokim ata. Which means, are we just saying, there's a general moral code. They're not going to kill the babies because these midwives are regular Egyptians and they have this kind of rachamim? Or is it something very unique? This is something Jewish, and this is a theme that we have from Sefer Breshit. These Jewish women, right, Hebrew women, are showing this unbelievable fear of Hashem, and they're even willing to stand up to Paro, so much so that not only do they kill the children, they don't kill the children, and not only do they passively let them live, look at the word in Pasuk Yud Zayin, v'techayena teiladim. They actively keep the children alive, right? They're making sure that the children will live. So you see that who is doing the biggest rebellion against Paro? Right now we have two scenarios. Either it's the Egyptian women themselves, but they're rebelling against Paro, doing exactly the opposite, or it's the Hebrew women are really showing this unbelievable rebellion against Paro. So if it's the Egyptian women, they just have this moral code. There's something about women in general, right, who might feel this kind of morality, and they're going against this principle. And we can see that even a little later, because who is the one who puts out her hand, who brings in the teva of Moshe? It's Bat Paro. So we see this theme really continuing throughout these two prakim, it could be that there was this kind of sympathy among the women in Mitzrayim, that they felt a certain connection or they felt a certain humanity, right? That has to be done. Or no, this is really just the Hebrew women. And who's a super outlier but Paro? In such a way, is she an outlier that what's the famous idea of the Midrash? What was she doing when she was coming down to the Yaor? To convert. Which means only someone who really cares about Am Yisrael, who wants to be a Jew, right, is going to be someone who has this respect for life and really wants to do everything to make sure that they will survive. But Melech Mitzrayim finds out. It's not like, oh, they do this in private and no one finds out. Melech Mitzrayim finds out, and the Torah tells us again. He calls them and he says, how come you're keeping the children alive? Look at Pasuk Yudchet. Vatechayena. He's calling them. He's saying, I found out that you're really keeping the children alive, right? All of them, the boys and the girls. And the Mieldot answer to Paro. Ki lo kanashim ha-mitzriyot ha-ivriyot. What's different about the Hebrew women? Ki chayoteina. They're like animals, but of course we're not saying it like that, right? Pshat is, oh, like animals. An animal, right, never needs a midwife to help give birth. Animals usually give birth on their own. Humans are the only ones who usually need assistance in giving birth from all the creatures in the kingdom, animal kingdom, and the, right? But, of course, for elephants and hippopotamus, it's always helpful, right? But we know that they could do it in the wild alone. But humans really need assistance, usually, right? Need assistance in order to have a successful outcome. So what's fascinating here is that the word chai, the source, the shoresh, right? Life. The women are the life force because vatechayena tayladim. He says kill them, right? But the women are keeping them alive, are actively making them alive. And what the midwives are telling Paro is you think women could be manipulated and they're the source of death because they're weak and they're passive. But you should know that you're thinking of the Egyptian women who are passive, right? And the men really play this major role. But ki chayoteina, the women are the life force of Am Yisrael. And before we come, they even give birth. A miyaledet, someone helps you bring life into this world, right? A child into this world. But the women of Am Yisrael, right? They are trying everything in their power, right? To do it by themselves. So by the time we come, it's too late to do what we need to do according to your decree. So what's fascinating here is that the whole beginning in Perek Aleph really wants to speak about life force, women's life force, the idea that there are so many children that are coming alive, but it's not just happenstance. It's by choice. It is by plan. And again, what we see is that Hashem does tova for the Mieldot. They did good for Am Yisrael. They get tova because Yar'u ha-Mieldot et ha-Lokim, and they have houses as a result. So the bracha, because of their fear of Hashem, and once Paro sees, and again, we all know these psukim, I'm just highlighting some of these ideas because it's important for how we're going to develop things later and how the Midrash sees things. Paro gives up. Okay, I can't have the midwives help me. I'm going to make sure everyone from the Mitzrim of the Egyptians is going to look for their neighbor's children, and they're just going to throw all the boys into the Yaor. And what's fascinating, he says it lechol amo. He tells all of his people. So again, was he noticing that the midwives, the Egyptian midwives, weren't helping? Was it that, oh, he tried to have the Jews destroy themselves, the Hebrews destroy themselves? Isn't it so much cleaner when you have the Jews or whatever nation it is destroy themselves, right? And then you don't have to get your hands dirty. But now he tells his whole nation, right? Everybody has to be on board, which means this idea of destroying Am Yisrael is going to be something that all of Mitzrayim has to do actively. But again, who does he only care about? The boys? Kol ha-ben ha-yelod ha-yeora tashlichum v'chol ha-bat techayun. And within this context, we have one group that is separating themselves out. We have in Perek Bet, Ish mi-beit Levi v'yekach et bat Levi. Why don't we have names? If we named all the Shvatim in the beginning And we are naming Shifra and Pua, the midwives. Why, when we're telling this family story, why aren't we telling any of the names? So we have many suggestions. One, by the end, we have Moshe's birth. We want to focus on Moshe's birth. So all the names are really not so important. Or we want to show that it's really Yad Hashem. People are acting, but it's really about Hashem. But we also have this interesting idea that, what do we know about Shevet Levi and Sefer Breshit? Right? Shevet Levi and Sefer Breshit, they're the ones who rebelled against Yaakov, went and destroyed all the males in the city of Shechem. And even in the end of Sefer Breshit, Yaakov does not give a bracha to Shimon and Levi, but gives a tochacha. So here we're seeing pretty much a tikkun of Shevet Levi. And what is going to be the mechanism of the tikkun of Shevet Levi? It's going to be, yes, he marries a bat Levi, but it's going to be the women. It's going to be the mother and the sister. And also what we're seeing here is that in Perek Aleph, we spoke about the women of Am Yisrael having so many children. And here in Perek Bet, we also, yes, we want to talk about Miriam and Yocheved, but we also want to speak about them as representatives of what the women of Am Yisrael are doing. Which means, and that's why we're getting to Miriam and Yocheved, but they're really representing Am Yisrael. It's not like, oh, Miriam and Yocheved, they're really so unusual and they're outliers. But we want to really talk about them as mothers. Mothers were doing whatever they can. Even sisters were doing whatever they can. And of course, Miriam and Yocheved are unusual, but also they're representative of all of Am Yisrael. And that's also what we're going to see in the Midrashim. Whatever goes on is representative of the women of Am Yisrael. And that's why we have these Midrashim Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot. It's not just, oh, Miriam was so unusual, Yocheved was so unusual. It's the women of Am Yisrael, which means this idea that we developed in Sefer Breshit of the Imahot being so special, right? And even though Yichush-wise we're counting the men's name, the women are really the ones who behind the scenes, right, and not so behind the scenes, are really making sure the legacy of Am Yisrael continues. As we saw with Benot Tzlofchad, we start with the Galut in Mitzrayim, right? Bnei Yisrael went down to Mitzrayim. But the moment we're starting to talk about the Geula story, we're talking about the women. We're talking about the Mieldot. We're talking about the Nashim of Am Yisrael. It's going to be Miriam and every single woman in Am Yisrael who are going to be dancing at Yam Suf. It's going to be Benot Tzlofchad who are going to be making sure that Bnei Yisrael want to go into Eretz Yisrael. And don't keep on saying we want to go back to Mitzrayim. We're going to have the women who don't participate in Chet HaEgel and Chet HaMeraglim, the two cardinal sins that we had in the Midbar. So we're really seeing how this theme is really already developed in the Pshat, in the Torah, about how central the women of Am Yisrael really are in the story of the Geula. But we don't want to focus either on names because we want to say this is general. They're representing something bigger, even though this is a unique story to Moshe. And here again, what do we see? She's pregnant. She gives birth to a child. She sees that the child is good. Look earlier. Vayitev Elokim la-mieldot. Hashem did good things for the mieldot. And here we also have the word tov, which means in this situation where everything is so bitter, so terrible, right? We even can say Miriam's name is because life was bitter. Marim, right? Things were bitter. But on the other hand, what can we say about Miriam? Merim, to raise, which means how do you see the situation? How do you take something that is so bitter and make it into something that could turn into life? That's what the Nashim did in Mitzrayim. And that is really what turned the tide. Because it's not just enough, right, to kind of be under the surface, right? And to withstand what's going on, you have to fight back. You have to have the emotional and psychological ability to fight back and really make sure you're fighting against Paro, you're fighting against the decree, you're making sure life continues, you're making sure to see whatever positive you could see and be proactive in whatever way you could be proactive. So what does, right, the mother do? She makes a teva. The word teva has only been used before this when we talk about Tevat Noach. So when she's making the teva, that is a goal just to save this child, which means she has a view just like Noach and his family were saved right from the flood. This child is going to be saved. When they're making the teva, they're not thinking, oh, we're putting the child in the Yaor and someone's going to find him and kill him. Right? They're making this teva, especially the mother, right, in order to make sure this child is going to live. And how does she put the teva into the water. Vatasem, she puts it in, right? And she puts it gently on the suf, and the sister's involved as well. Vatetatzav achotom arachok. Miriam, no names, but the sister, we know later, of course, she's Miriam. She sits from afar to see what's going to happen to Moshe, which means this is not, right, a story of despair. This is a story of hope. Now, it's fascinating when Josephus is writing the history of Am Yisrael in antiquities. He was captured during the Second Temple Rebellion. He really actually gives up, which means he lets the Romans know where he's hiding and where his whole platoon is hiding, and he gives military secrets, and they come and they attack, and everyone is destroyed. He's brought into captivity into Rome. He's put in jail for a while and gets special treats. And they ask him, okay, write a little about the Jews. And he writes Antiquities, which is, you know, kind of a story Bible, right? And the history of the Jewish people until his time. And when he tells the story in Antiquities, right, he tells it very differently than we see it here. He has it that, oh, they're crying and they're, you know, practically throwing Moshe into the Yaor, and everyone in the family is absolutely destitute and upset. And who plays the major role? It is Amram who plays the major role. Totally different than what we see, what was really going on in the Torah. And that's why it'll be so fascinating for us to see also how the Midrashim see this story, which means, how do Am Yisrael see the story? How do Chazal see the story? We're going to see with a very different lens. They also could have said, oh, even though it's not written in the Pshat, clearly Amram, the father, is involved, and clearly this was disillusionment when they put him in the Yaor, and they think, okay, this is the end, but, you know, we don't want to see him die. We're going to put him in a basket. Very different. So again, we're going to see that. I just, again, for us to see the Psukim is very important. But what happens? Ah, who comes along? Bat Paro comes along. Again, we don't even have her name. She pulls Moshe when she sees Moshe. And very interesting, we have the yelet. It says, oh, Vatachmol alav. She has compassion on the child. Now, this is also very interesting, because what did Paro say? Even the midwives should not have compassion. They should murder every single child. So the fact that she has compassion, right, and she wants to save Moshe, right, is something very unusual. But who steps in right away? Which means when they put Moshe in the teva, they weren't giving up. Because who steps in the minute they see someone's picking up this child, which was the plan, right? To have someone pick him up and really make sure to take care of him. Because what could Bat Paro have done? Flip the teva and drown the child. It'd be very easy to do that. But obviously, Bat Paro, either her affinity to the Jews or just had compassion, and even a little bit of rebellion against her father, clearly. Miriam comes, and she makes sure that Moshe is going to have a nursemaid. It's going to be the mother, right? She runs and really gets the mother of the child, and Moshe, right, grows, thrives. He's in the house of Paro, but he knows who his family is, because when he sees the sivlot, right, the oppression of his brothers, he goes out, which means the family was able to give over the identity, the idea of compassion, the idea of caring, right, for your family. And Moshe keeps that, because when he sees oppression, when he sees, oh, people are oppressing the daughters of Yitro, right, when he has to run, or before that, when he tries to make shalom between the two Ivrim, he steps in. And even earlier, of course, when he sees an Egyptian oppressing Am Yisrael, someone from his brethren, he steps in and he makes sure that there is justice. We're focusing on Miriam, so we're not going to focus on Moshe's development, which is amazing. But the point is that where did he get a lot of these ideas? Clearly of caring for your brothers, of having compassion for the Ivrim, was from even those early days at home of this kind of identity. So I want you to go to page 3, number 3. Why would Paro think that, oh, you can ask the women to kill their own children or kill the children of other individuals? Where's the only place that we have another Egyptian woman that we have her fleshed out? And I know I speak about this a lot, but it's an interesting contrast before we get to our women that we want to speak about. When we look at Hagar, what do we see very interestingly? The minute her son gets sick, she walk away, right? Look at the psukim. The minute she doesn't have any more water, and right away she gets lost, she doesn't have a goal when she has to leave the house of Avraham, she throws the boy under one of the bushes. V'tashlech et hayeled achad, tachad achad asichim. What was the decree of Paro? Kola ben hayelod hayora tashlichuhu, the same language, which means in Sefer Shemot, when the Torah is telling us how Miriam and Yocheved, the mother and the sister, take care of Moshe, it's really a contrast to what happened with Hagar. Hagar, right, the Egyptian woman, when her child gets sick, right away, what does she do? She throws him down under one of the bushes, and she sits as far as you can throw an arrow, because what does she say? Al ere b'mot hayeled. I don't want to see this child die, which means she gives up right away. And we understand, because it's a terrible situation, but she gives up right away. She throws the boy under one of the bushes. Look for some water, right? And again, the theme of water that's here. And she's got as far as you can shoot an arrow. That is very, very far. And she's crying because she's already given up. Vatelach vateshev mineged, right, as far as you can shoot an arrow, that is very far. Look at that image. And Hashem hears et kol hanar. Hashem hears the voice of Yishmael crying. And Malach Hashem screams to her and says, Malach Hagar, what's with you? Right? Al tiri, don't be afraid. What do we see? The language also of Yirah. In Sefer Shemot, they feared Hashem. When you have the fear of Hashem, that means that you know Hashem is on your side. You have hope. You have continuity. You know that there might be something different in the future. But here, what do we see? We see this unbelievable, paralyzing fear of Hagar. And again, we feel for her, but that's not the way we see Jewish women act. Throughout all of Sefer Bereshit, the women, they take a proactive stance. What do we see in Sefer Shemot? They take a proactive stance. They don't give up no matter what. The situation looks crazy, horrible, and terrible, but the Bnot Yisrael, Neshe Yisrael, never give up. And here, they have to be promised, right? She has to be promised. Oh, Hashem heard him. Get up. Hold his hand. He's going to be a great nation. All of a sudden, Hashem opens up her eyes, or the Malach opens her eyes, and what does she see? The Be'er was there maybe all along. Vayifkach Elokim et eineha, vate'er be'er mayim. All of a sudden, the water was really there, which means to give up so easily, right? Or not to really fight. Maybe that was what Paro understood, and that's what he thought, the way women behave. And again, the Midrash is fascinating, because the Midrash says, who was Hagar? The daughter of an earlier Paro. And why is he sending her to the house of Avraham? To learn, right, how to be a fighter. To learn from the midot, right, that we have in Avraham's house. So we have that contrast. And we have the proactivity of the women is really very highlighted. It's not just, oh, we're telling this interesting story. It's really showing, right, the tenacity of Benot Yisrael. So we're going to go in opposite order. Look what Rashi says. And we're going to see how Rashi really bases a lot on the Midrash. So first we're going to the Mefarshim, and then we're going to go back to the Midrash. Sometimes we do it in the opposite order. So, of course, Rashi says, Shifra and Pua are whom? We're on page 3. We're doing Rashi, Shmot, Perek, Aleph. Rashi goes according to the Midrash. Shifra is Yocheved, and Pua is Miriam. Why? Because Pua means Poa, to talk. And what is Miriam? She has a mouth, right? She always speaks. And if you say it's Pua, she's speaking up to Paro. She's going to speak to her father, right? And she speaks when we have Yamsuf, and she speaks about Moshe. So Miriam always uses her voice. Shifra, oh, it's Yocheved. She always makes the baby beautiful. So what do we see about Rashi? Rashi is following the Midrash. Vatechayena tayladim, right? They're giving them food and water, which means they're making sure the children should survive. Active. And again, Rashi is going exactly by the Midrash. For Chayot, Rashi wants to say, oh, they know how to give birth by themselves, right, without help of a midwife, right? So just like animals. So he's using that reed more as a pshat. And what's Vayitev Elokim LaMiyaldot? Rashi also is reading it according to the Midrash, Batei Kuhuna, Livya, Umalchut, which means long term, what is going to be the payment for doing these great acts? For taking care of these children, melucha, Kuhuna, Levia, right? Because we have the Medrash that Miriam is really the wife of Kalev ben Yefune, and they have Hur. Eventually, they're going to be the people from Shevet Yehuda, the Melachim. And we have, of course, for Shifra, right, Yocheved, she has Aharon HaKohen, and she has Moshe. Moshe, the Levim, right? Aharon HaKohen is the Kohen Gadol. And again, we have that famous Midrash in Kaf Bet. And if you look at Perek Bet, look at the bottom of page 3, Vaikach et Bat Levi. Rashi brings in this famous Midrash. Ah, when the going got tough and every boy was supposed to be killed, what did Amram say to his wife? He said, okay, we're going to separate. And the only reason they got together was because Miriam spoke to Amram and said, I had a nevuah that you have to get together. So what are we already seeing? Rashi wants us to read this whole piece, mostly according to the Midrash. And what is the Midrash going to do? The Midrash is really going to highlight and put in the unbelievable role that Miriam is playing in the story. We read the Pshat, right? So she plays a very important role in saving Moshe, right? We see in the Pshat, there, even if we say they're the midwives, right? So they're playing a very important role in making sure the future of Am Yisrael, right? Ah, the babies. But what we're going to see is that the Midrash also makes a very big push for Miriam's role, not only, right, in speaking to Paro, but also speaking to her father, to making sure that, what happened to the men? They gave up. When they saw that the decree is going to be killing all the boys, they separated from their wives, so nobody should be born. What is the view of the Midrash? Who played that critical role in making sure that there would be continuity? It's Miriam and the women. So what do we see here very interestingly? We see that the Pshat is already saying how important the women are, but the Midrash, the Chachamim, are going to emphasize that, and we're going to see that in a moment. But it doesn't stay just with the Chachamim. We're seeing that the Mefarshim, and especially Rashi, thank you, are really advocating this read. So let's go to number 6. Thank you so much. Let's go to number 6, the Mechilta. So where does Rashi get all this, right? How does he do such a read that Miriam's getting involved? She is speaking, right, to make sure that, we're going to have the future of Am Yisrael. More children are going to be born. We're not going to give up. Because we see in the Pshat there is, right, definitely a source for all the women being involved. But to this nitty-gritty level, we're going to see very fascinatingly. Look at number 6. You have to already turn the page, right? The Mechilta. The Mechilta is the earliest line of Midrash Halacha that we have. And what do we see in the Midrash Halacha here? It says, Vatikach Miriam Anivya. It's giving a perush to the psukim that we have. And there, it's actually talking about Shirat Hayam. And what's fascinating is that this Midrash, again, one of the earliest Midrashim that we have, it's Midrash Halacha and Shmot, and it says something beautiful. How do we know that Miriam, when she's called a Neviyah at Yam Suf, which we're going to do next class, how do we know that Miriam a Neviyah, why are we calling her Miriam a Neviyah? It doesn't tell us that she was a Neviyah in Perek Aleph or Bet and Sefer Shmot, so why are we calling her a Neviyah? Where did she give Nevuah? Singing at Yam Suf might not be considered a Nevuah, so where did she have that Nevuah? So all the Midrashim trying to figure out. So what was her prophecy? Why is she considered one of the Neviyot? And the answer is that right away in the beginning, she was telling her father, right, that he's going to have a child that's going to save Am Yisrael. And as a result, right, he reconnected with his wife, right, because he already had this idea that no children should be born. Better no children should be born than to kill the boys. And she said, no, you have to have Emuna. You have to remarry Ima. And then they had a child. But when they couldn't hide the child, he got angry at her and said, hey, chanevuatech, I'm on line 3. So she could have given up. Here her father, who's the leader of the generation, is telling her, you told me to do this thing. I had to get everyone to also be on board. And now that we have to throw into the Yaor, But he mitchazeket benevuata. She was strong in her nevuah. Even her father is saying it doesn't make logical sense, right? We had this child. Now we have to put him in the teva and the yaor, right? But she is strong in her conviction. Vatetatzav achoto merachok. But she stands from afar what's going to be in the future. And the women of Am Yisrael had so much emuna that what did they do? Look at the last lines of the Midrash. They would organize dances and they would organize musical instruments to make sure that when the Geula happened, they would be able to participate. Which means not only, right, are they believing, they're already planning to collect musical instruments and making plans for dances, that it's going to be a coordinated effort when they are going to be saved. And that's why at Yam Suf, what did the women do? They came out so quickly. Which means what's fascinating is the Midrash already wants to show not only the emuna, but the proactivity in making sure that they are planning ahead. We're going to just speak about the Midrash Tanchuma, also a Medrash Agada that is very old. And this beautiful Medrash is speaking about the idea of the mirrors, which we all know, but it's always good to know where the source of it is. And when we speak about the mirrors, it says, oh, we're in Medrash Tanchuma, we're on page 5, Parshat Pekudei, and a beautiful Midrash, right? You all know it, but if you have a chance to see some of the Midrash, it's fascinating. First of all, who was responsible for Am Yisrael to be at this point? The women, right? They were the ones who celebrated Yam Suf. They're the ones who had so many children. And what, of course, was the mechanism that they used? They used the mirrors. And the mirrors helped them, right, to beautify themselves in order to have so many children. And Moshe, who in the beginning thought, oh, I'm not going to use the mirrors, saw that this was something that was very important. Which means what else we see is that here, something that could maybe be identified as something that is not used on the highest level of Kedusha, the women really used it on the highest level of Kedusha for a higher purpose. That constantly what we're seeing is that the women are planning ahead, thinking of the higher purpose, making sure that the idea of survival is not just a physical survival, but is also a spiritual survival. It's something that they had emunan bitachon for the future. So if you look at number 7, the Gemara, the famous Gemara, right? Rav Avera says beautifully, why were Bnei Yisrael saved? Because of the Nashim Tzidkaniyot. And how did they do it? In the beginning, they were just feeding the families, making sure there'll be survival, right? And being positive. And sometimes that is the most basic thing that you need. Because one of the worst things is depression, is the idea that you can't go on, that you spiral backwards. So the idea that the women were making sure, you're thinking, oh, it's a physical thing. It's not so big. It's everything. It's this idea that there's future. It's the idea that even the most mundane things are really for a higher purpose and that we should look ahead. And what's fascinating is that the men were always looking backwards, right? Avodat Parech, we have a very interesting idea that the men were giving in to Avodat Parech, right, very, very quickly. It was very easy to dissuade them. Again, we're going according to the Midrash. But the women, right, they really had the tenacity to look forward. They saw their families and the future of Am Yisrael and their responsibility. And that's why, look at the top of page 6, when they were at Yam Suf, they saw Hashem first. Because they were already primed with this idea to see Geula and to make sure that even though it looks like a negative situation, oh, the Mitzrim are following us, we can't pass Yam Suf, right? They realize right away, oh, when Yam Suf is spilling, this is not a natural phenomenon. This is Yad Hashem. And they are there with their children. And the children also are with them and realize Yad Hashem. And why is that? Because of the education they gave them. And that is a beautiful midrash that we see in the Gemara. And the Gemara also continues with this idea. Look at number 10. In Masechet Sota, we have all of the discussion of what is going on. So we are seeing that this idea that the women were so central, they were proactive, they were positive, they're really the life force of Am Yisrael, is the theme that the Medrash wants to develop on the whole story of Mitzrayim. It's not a late read. This is the earliest read from the time of the Mechilta through the Gemara. And Rashi is extending, and a lot of the Mefarshim are extending that idea because that's one of the most important messages we have from Yitziat Mitzrayim. And that's why in the Haggadah, we don't even focus on Moshe because we focus on Hashem. But it's fascinating that when we're reading according to the Midrash, who played an outsized role it's the women of Am Yisrael. And Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot, we're chayiv in arba kosot shel yayin. What's the arba kosot shel yayin? The four cups of wine? That really goes throughout the entire Haggadah, the entire Seder. Why? Because we are the ones, right, who made the story happen. We are the ones who participated in this unbelievable Geula. And that is very important for us to understand, which means whenever we talk about the Geula of Am Yisrael, whether it was with Esther, whether it's in Sefer Breshit, whether it's Geulat Mitzrayim, whether it's in the future Geula, whether it's right now, and I think this theme is very important for us, this idea of having the tenacity, the idea of looking to the future, the idea of making sure that we understand with Emunah that we have a responsibility to be proactive and to be a driving hashkafic force in seeing positivity and emunah and that there's going to be a future is very important. And I'm going to highlight it with the last midrash that we're going to do for today. And that is number 10. Vayelech ish mi beit Levi. So the Gemara, building on this mechilta, is asking, what does it mean, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi? Where'd he go? Why do we use the language, Vayelech ish mi beit Levi? Just say, Amram married Yocheved. Why do we have this language? Because the Gemara wants to say that he went with the advice of his daughter. So we're seeing that this idea in the Mechilta is continued in the Gemara. An idea that we see very important in Masorah and in Agadah and in Halacha in general is if an idea continues, then it's really accepted and also very entrenched in the Halachic and Masorah mindset of Am Yisrael. So very interesting. It's always important and interesting to see a Das Yachid because that's very important. Oh, we see these interesting ideas and we learn a lot from them. But when you also see something that's an idea that's continued, it is very important. So the Gemara asks, whose advice did he go on? And it says, oh, Amram was a Gadol Ador. And when Paro said, Harasha, Kola ben ha'ilodai or atashlichu, he said, of course, Lashav anu amelim. So I just said this story. Why am I saying it again? Because we saw it in Mechilta, which is super early, Medrash Halacha. And now we're seeing that the story is elaborated in the Gemara, which means this idea of the centrality of Miriam and the idea that the women were the ones who said, look to the future, look to the future. The idea that we saw in the Gemara, oh, the women were feeding and having children. Oh, as a idea of their looking towards the future. So again, Miriam, yes, she represents herself, but she also represents all the women of Am Yisrael. So when we learn about Miriam, we're learning about the women. And that's why it says, Bizchut Nashim Tzidkaniyot, because it's not just about her, right? She was inspiring the women, but the women were also inspiring her. So she comes to her father, and her father says, well, we have to separate because to have children, right, would be for no reason. So Amad v'gireshet ishto, he divorces his wife, ve'amdu kulan v'girshuet neshoteim, right? So we're seeing the Medrash here is really elaborating on what we have in the Mechilta. So what did Miriam say? Abba, kasha gzeiratcha mishel paro. Your gzeira is harder than paro. Because paro only said about the zcharim, about the males. But your gozer on the zcharim and on the nekevot. Which means it's true. Right? There is a chance that maybe some of the boys are going to be killed. But guaranteed, who's going to survive? The daughters. Aren't daughters important? Right? Which means the future of Am Yisrael, what Miriam is saying, right, really can continue with the bulk of the people being the women of Am Yisrael because we are so tenacious. And Paro lo gazar ela ba'olam hazeh. Va'ata ba'olam hazeh ula olam haba. Which means the Medrash wants to elaborate. Right? Not only is she speaking practically, but she's also speaking philosophically. Right? When a child is born, he has a chance for Olam Hazeh, but also then the neshama comes in here and has a chance for Olam Haba. If the child is not born, then doesn't even have a chance for Olam Haba. And Paro's a Rasha, right? But you're a tzaddik. Everything that you say is mitkayem. And as a result, Amad v'hechzir et ishto. He returned his wife, right? He remarried, and then everyone returned and remarried. So again, what is the point here? Which means Amram, he is the Gadol Hador, but who is really helping him formulate, right, what should be the attitude of Am Yisrael? The Medrash really wants to emphasize Miriam's role. The Medrash really wants to emphasize the tenacity, right, as we saw in the other Midrashim, right, the women of Am Yisrael. So that is a very important point. And we see in all these other midrashim, we're not going to read all of them because we read 10, but the other gemaras continue and discuss, yeah, I'm finishing. The other gemaras continue and discuss this idea that Amram is disappointed, right? But Miriam has the tenacity and she stands up for, you know, what she believes in and the nevuah that she has. So ad kana kafa aleph for Miriam, but we see this theme. For next time, we're going to do the events at Yamsuf and the story of Miriam speaking to Aharon, and we're going to also have within that a few divrei Torah and ideas for Torah for the Seder.